When I was a child living in Israel, I was familiar with other children in school whose grandparents, and some I think whose parents, had their origins in the culturally rich Jewish communities of Egypt. Communities that thrived only up to a few decades ago. Back then, on Pesach, I sometimes wondered what it must have felt like for the older generation, those who remembered celebrating Passover in Egypt, to hold the Seder night there. I mean, how did they deal with the irony of telling the Pesach story from the place of original slavery in Egypt? Did they come up with extra lines at the end of the Haggadah explaining what they were still doing there? I think that irony could probably be good material for a story or two, and perhaps even a joke. This year, as we're living through a pandemic, I came across another irony summed up in a WhatsApp message you probably too have received. It says, "Passover has been cancelled because of a plague." Indeed, most of us feel like this is the case. Well, Passover, of course, isn't cancelled, but the Seder as we know it, certainly has been. And so, having wondered what it must have felt like, to celebrate the Seder night in Egypt, I, like many others, suddenly found myself living in Egypt, or rather in Mitzrayim, which, as you might know, is the Hebrew for Egypt. But when translated literally, Mitzrayim in Hebrew means a place of tight constriction, dire straits, a narrow place. This year, we are all feeling constricted, anxious, afraid, uncertain. We find ourselves in the dire straits of Mitzrayim. When retelling the story of the Yetziat Mitzrayim, as the Exodus is known in Hebrew, the Talmud tells us, "Matchil begenut umesayem bishvach." One should begin recounting the Exodus in degradation and end with praise. This is the path of the Haggadah, from slavery to freedom and Hallel. This is the blueprint of our journeys as Jews in our tradition. After all, we're all familiar with a humorous quip that describes all our Jewish festivals and holidays as, "They tried to kill us, they failed, we survived, now let's eat." This is true. But as we live through it, however, it feels very different. Living through it, our personal experience is much harder to reconcile with the national narrative, the pain of those suffering in isolation, our worries over loved ones, the roller coaster of emotion, the despair and anxiety when, God forbid, someone we know is affected by the virus, the terrible moments of anguish when we realize there is no light at the end of the tunnel anymore. But there is another side that is emerging too. A shift in values, a shift in our priorities, reflected in what we do and how we do, who we admire and who we praise and respect. I was moved almost to tears on Thursday at 8 o'clock as I opened my window shyly to clap for the NHS, for those workers risking their lives to cure others. I was wondering whether I'd be the only awkward one. How moving it was to suddenly hear hundreds of thousands of people cheer and clap their hands in appreciation, all together at the same time, echoing throughout the city. This was not done for a famously rich celebrity or to recognize and praise the to recognize those who are famous. No, this was done to recognize those heroes among us doing their work every day that we sometimes take for granted and seldom notice. In the midst of the depth, in our narrow straits, in Mitzrayim, we also see how the situation can bring out the best in most people. I know, not all, but most, let us be honest. We have all witnessed our own examples of this. Help from our wonderful volunteers here at Menorah. Help from our neighbors. I dare say that most of us have probably received a flyer or two with offers from our neighbors for shopping, for anything that we might need that they could be of assistance with. Newly formed WhatsApp groups in every neighborhood. Finally, technology is connecting people and put to use that we all hoped it would when it was first developed, to connect people, to overcome boundaries and differences with acts of kindness and niceties. Now, we must acknowledge, and I know that the technical learning curve is tough. Some are left behind. Many others find it hard, but yet it is happening. They are getting over the hump, and we need to help them to do it even more. Suddenly, so many of us found the freedom of the airwaves, Wi-Fi. New vistas are opening up, new ways of expression, a revolution in a positive sense, one that is reinventing and reinvigorating Judaism too. You must be familiar with RJTV, what Reformed Judaism is doing every day, Shacharit, fun and games for children, etc., etc. I recently spoke to one congregant who was so excited upon telling me that his child was in an activity that he absolutely loved and suddenly spotted other children from the neighborhood and from Menorah also doing the same together with hundreds of others across the country. How delighted I was just a few days to call a friend. I shouldn't mention the age, but it was her birthday and she is in her early 80s. I called to wish a happy birthday, only to hear the busy call, busy background, laughter and a party. A celebration was going on in the background as she was enjoying a virtual Zoom party together with friends. A birthday party online, drinks, theater. In fact, some people are making appointments and they say, well, sorry, I'm Zooming someone else at that time. I can't. I'll meet you after those drinks. Now, distance has suddenly become irrelevant, thwarted by closeness. Yes, our Seder settings might be empty at home this time of year, but we can also invite people in Israel, in South Africa, or New Zealand to our Seder. Suddenly, we are all together and can see each other. People have started calling each other, not just sending texts. We hear people's voices. Yes, don't get me wrong. We are still in Mitzrayim. But there is light at the end of the tunnel guiding our path. As a colleague from America describes the situation. Right now, we are all at the beginning, and I hope it is the end of the beginning. We are all at the beginning of the story of the COVID-19 pandemic. And like the Exodus, we too begin in degradation, in this narrow place, in a fearful place, in this grief-stricken place of Mitzrayim. Our task is to trust that, like in the Haggadah we read in Passover, this is only where our story begins, not where it will end. Passover is known as Zman Cheruteinu, the time of our freedom. Now, Cherut, this freedom, does not refer to the careless freedom one enjoys on holiday, Chofesh in Hebrew, by the way. But Cherut is a freedom that reflects responsibility. We were freed from slavery to a higher duty, to worship God. Our freedom now reflects our duty to do the right thing. The task this freedom demands of us in the coming weeks is to stay home, no matter how lovely the weather is outside and may be so. This responsibility demands that we help those whom we can help, look after ourselves, and while we do this, cultivate our ability to hope and to give praise, to acknowledge those who are working for us to end this pandemic, so that in years to come, we can tell it to the different generations sitting together, to those friends sharing with us in person next to each other round the Seder table, celebrating Passover, as we recall our own Yetziat Mitzrayim, how we began in degradation, and we too can now end in praise. So, Ken Yehi Ratzon, please God. Shabbat Shalom, and I wish you all a Pesach Sameach. One last thing about Pesach. Even the most Orthodox authorities have given leniency. Do not stress out too much if you don't have kosher for Passover whipped cream or mayonnaise or even matzah. Our lives are much more important. Shabbat Shalom.